Hey folks, welcome to episode 10 of the Off Center Archers, and we're already off to laughing here because we've already been a couple beers in trying to figure out topics. So, and I'm your host Anthony.
And Stephanie.
No, she remembered her name.
What do you mean I remembered my name? I always remember my name.
Dyeing your hair, lightening your hair more blonde, fucking sunk it to your brain. So anyway, on today's episode, we're going to talk about how I changed out to another site. And it's not because I didn't like my True Glow Rival FX. I think that site is absolutely fantastic. Great for, you know, multiple adjustments, micro adjustment, vertical, horizontal. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to move the pins, very easy. And
you were actually doing pretty well with that site.
Yeah, exactly.
You liked
that site. I liked that site. The only thing that I could really... The only downside of that site is it's heavy. It's almost 3/4 of a pound. It's, let's see, 9.5 ounces
for a site. I mean,
and it's not like it's a dovetail arm. It's just, it's all, granted, its weight is because it's solid. It's metal front to back.
Yeah.
So you know if you drop this thing, nothing's going to happen. So it's like, you know, you definitely have the durability aspect, but the durability of the fact that it's all metal is its only downside because the bitch is heavy. But fantastic site. Absolutely. If anyone's a starter... And like I said before, that's one of the sites we got off that eBay store.
Yeah,
that's
same one.
Sportsman Superstore, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That I got off him. It was like $30 shipped. Over $100 retail price. Definitely worth every dollar for it. But as we do on this podcast, we switch out numerous parts here to give you guys other options. I was able to find a Trophy Ridge Peak site. Basically, it's another 5-pin site. But instead of the pins being horizontal, the pins are stacked vertically,
yeah,
one behind the
weird.
Other. Yeah,
kinda
it's kind of freaking, it's kind of funky when you look at it at first. Because you look at it, you're like, also the pictures of the site that they show on the web page and everything are a really bad representation of the site.
Well, you really can't get a good picture of it from a picture. Like, I mean, you have to actually see it in person.
Right. Well, the pictures I took are from an angle so you see through the entire site housing so you see the multiple pins. But the site that Trophy Ridge themselves puts, it looks like 5 dots hanging on a string.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of trippy looking, though.
It is.
I had to refocus myself a couple times looking through it.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a, you know, something to get used to.
It's different.
Right. But... Definitely so far, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, easy to adjust. Now, granted, because they are basically like tension bolts for each pin as they raise up and down, I don't know how steady as of right now they're going to stay in place. It's not like where the other ones where you just tighten it and you lock the pin in place.
Right.
These, loosening it makes the pin go up, tightening it makes it go down. So, right now I'm trying, you know... The more I shoot, we're going to see, do the pins stay still? Do they vibrate themselves loose, up, down? Right, is there any readjustments needed? But this site is not metal. Majority of this thing is like a composite ABS plastic. So to me, that's like one of the downsides of it so far, is that it's not... Realistically, I'd be afraid if I dropped this fucking thing.
Well, on the other hand, though, if it's like plastic, then isn't it going to be wearing easier?
It's, well, granted, I mean, like, when I mounted it to the bow, it's very, very sturdy. It doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere.
But I mean, not even that, just the adjustment. Tightening and untightening. I mean, doesn't plastic start to wear away quicker?
No, it's not that.
Than...
The actual sight window where the pins are is metal.
Okay.
But the arm from the actual sight housing to the riser of the bow is all composite.
Oh, okay.
So, and you would figure that, like... With all that composite material, be a huge like weight savings. Like I said, the True Glow Rival FX was 9.4 ounces. The Trophy Ridge Peak is only 8.3, so you're saving just over an ounce. So realistically, they could have probably made the same exact sight housing and went with like a dovetail setup, like your
the one that's on
Micro Bright has,
mm-hmm.
or even the same style setup that the Rival FX has. It would have probably been worth the ounce just because of the durability.
But then you were saying before that the first one felt too heavy. So then, I mean, now you're kind of saying that it's okay to
No, it did. I mean, it feels heavy at first when you think about it. But then when you compare it to The Rival FX, knowing the durability of it compared to this sight being composite and it's only a 1 ounce savings, the idea of it being heavy kind of like goes away in your head. It's like, ah.
So you'd rather take the 1 ounce back to feel like it.
If this thing was a full metal frame, this thing would be like absolutely gnarly.
Okay.
I mean, completely. But well, something to think about. Right now, I'm pretty impressed with it. I'm getting myself adjusted to the five stacked pins. 20-yard pin, real easy as soon as I got it centered. 30-yard pin, probably took two rounds. I could probably go some more, but we spent so much time today on the 20 yards.
Yeah, but we were also taking turns, too, because the lanes were full.
Right.
But which is fine. I mean, you know, sharing is caring and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's what it is. So, I mean, you know, you went, then I went. And so it's kind of like we're getting half the time in.
Right, right.
But, you know, that's the way it works.
Oh, yeah.
So until we get a yard where we can shoot in.
Right, yeah,
exactly. I'll have my side.
Or you'll have your side. Yeah, yeah, that's when I'll have to hear, like, I want the elk 3D dummy. Mm-hmm. You get the deer or the squirrel. I want the elk. Yeah.
No, I threw a moose in there today.
Yeah, moose, yeah. It's already bad enough that the 3D elk is like $250.
I'd like to see prices on that.
Well, if they need them, test it out and, you know, a review, we'll gladly shoot the living hell out of it and tell you if it's worth it. I mean, we're doing that right now, and we're even giving you the price point that we're paying for them as we're either finding them on eBay or if we're finding them on Amazon or, you know, if we find a deal at our local store and whatnot. But, you know, as of right now, I mean, once you get this sight centered, as long as you know your arrow rest is on point and centered for your distance shots and not, you know, after you do some walk back tuning or whatever, this thing was, like, easy. It was just like just vertical. That was it. Got the 20 yards centered where I was throwing all six arrows in the white, you know, and 20 yards were just up and down. This thing stood dead center the whole time.
And honestly, watching you adjust it to what you need to do from moment to moment, it doesn't seem like it's really taking a lot to
actually adjust it. No, it's not. No, it's really not. I mean, the pin adjustment itself is very, very simple. Like I said, you know, tighten it makes it go down, loosening it makes the pin go up. And the initial horizontal and vertical adjustments are micro adjustments, you know, with the where you tighten the arm and loosen the arm, just like you would on either my Rival or on your Micro Bright.
Right. And a side note, just from noticing today, if the arrow is too high, what do?
Oh yes, you adjust your
sight up.
Yes, you follow your arrow. We had a guy who had just put a brand new Field Logic IQ single pin on his bow. Hadn't shot in years, had no experience with this type of sight whatsoever. And he kept shooting higher and higher. And finally it was like, all right, dude, what are you doing? Well, I'm shooting high, so I keep lowering it to try and lower the arrow. It's like, no, you're going backwards. So I helped him. I ended up that I had to put his entire sight window at its max height.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to play with the pins and stuff like that. So he finally got on target.
I
did say
he was a couple years, but I don't know. If you're out of the
years, that bow is, I'd say, 15 plus years old.
Yeah, you don't really know his situation, though, what happened.
Right.
But, follow the arrow. If it goes up, move it up.
Yeah, if you're shooting too high, raise your sight. You don't lower it.
Yeah, if you think about it, if it goes higher and you follow it, you're raising the pin because the pin's higher, so it makes sense that way if you look at it that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that was just a side note. Now, lately when we do these episodes, we make a little list of what we're going to do. And
I crossed off
this guy like decided to cross out half the list, and he thought I wasn't gonna mention any of it because he crossed it out more and the lines are darker on the image and he imprinted it. But yeah, no, I'm still gonna break it up.
Scratch like, the hell out of
it. If you cross it out more and you make more squiggly lines through it, then it just disappears more. Not really. So you did a rest swap.
Yes, I did. Yes.
I
did a rest swap because my G5 is loud, which is fun.
No, it wasn't fun. No, it wasn't fun.
It was pissing me off. Yes,
yeah, that was really agitating.
I'll freely admit it. It was pissing me off.
We could run playback on that other episode. Yeah,
no, it's okay. I remember saying how mad I was that it was loud, which it is. It is loud. So I had put a True Glow updraft on my bow. And doing that and the sight at the same time was like a major mistake. Because I completely brain farted and skipped an entire step when it comes to the arrow rest. I was just like, oh, I'll just sight my shit in. No, dummy. I completely forgot to paper tune it. Making myself go absolutely nuts. And finally got mad and I put the G5 back on the bow.
Well, it's like starting from scratch again.
Right, right. And I was like, oh, you know. Let me see. Maybe it's me and I'm just getting pissed off and overreacting. And that's when I realized I forgot the paper tune and the necessary shit when you put a brand new sight or a brand new arrow rest on a bow.
But I mean, when you get a new bow anyway, that's what you're going to have to do. When
right.
You transfer everything over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It just completely blew past the step that was needed.
You were getting pissed off.
I was really mad. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not getting bullseyes anymore. I'm perfect.
I'm not perfect.
Why am I missing it?
Not perfect at all. Well, actually, you come to think of it, I mean, like, really, like, this week, I did a lot of changes to mine.
I know.
I took the high-tech Eclipse 3D stabilizer off the bow.
Wait, are we making a list of why you didn't hit all bullseyes?
No. I'm just saying, I actually did change some shit. I went back to using the True Glow, Carbon Tech Pro? Or, no, sorry. True Tech Carbon Pro stabilizer like I used to have.
Oh, the one that I took from you.
Yes, the one that you took from me. I bought another one. Went back to that, stabilizer, cause I just felt like the nose of the bow was just way, way too heavy with that high tech on there. So went back to what I was using before, and I'll tell you right now, you can't beat the actual quality of the True Tech, Carbon Pro, because the high tech wasn't absorbing any of the shock from my bow at all. Today, it felt like the bow wasn't vibrating anywhere near as much. I mean, it just felt like it shot better.
I mean, I honestly liked it. Since we've switched by now, I honestly have no problems with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
And plus, my my pull, left-right,
is down substantially.
Yeah, it's down. I mean, it's probably because I'm also being able to control my form more.
Right, right. Well, you're also used to your 52 pounds since you have to, like, go gung-ho and keep jumping weight.
I have to say, you know, it's the weight is actually, I'm used to the weight. It's not a big thing for me to pull it back that bow anymore. I can actually sit there a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And aim better than when I used to, when I was still getting used to it. So, you know, you build up that strength in the certain muscles that actually pull it back.
Yep.
So, I have to say, it's shooting pretty good right now.
No, you're
even
doing
though,
good.
You know, we have to really start at the 30. Not start, I mean do one round at 20 yards and then.
Well, I think that's what we've been doing too much right now. But we've also been switching sights constantly, switching arrow rests and all the stuff that we're trying to bring attention to the person who's a new archer that doesn't, you know, realize they don't have to spend.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go out there and spend $150 on an arrow rest if you're just starting out. If you're just starting out, you know, throw one of these updrafts on your bow.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good arrow rest for someone who's a noob.
And it's good
and
to
actually, matter of fact,
learn.
It's a good arrow rest for someone who's experienced. I mean, geez.
And honestly, I mean, seeing a lot of these people come in that also shoot at the range who have stuck with the same thing for so long that they've forgotten how to tune it or they've just not shot
consistently. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They forget. And you know, with us trying out all this new stuff and then switching everything back and forth, and if you switch this thing, then okay, that affects A, B, and C, so right. You have to go and fix everything. It's actually really good to learn how to adjust because you kind of know the ins and outs of your bow. Like, I'm learning more about what's going on with my bow.
Right.
You know, when certain things are changed and we, you know, we adjust some things here and tweak some things there and, you know, get a new part or whatever else. So, I mean, that helps. You know, I'm actually pretty surprised when I hear some of these people that don't know the simple. I mean, the basic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think they're basic at least from.
Well, the stuff that we do really is basic. I mean, realistically,
well, whole,
everything
really
you're doing
like
with your bow should come down to a basic setup.
Yeah.
It just depends on how far you want to push it. If you want to use a whisker biscuit, don't really think you can strap a whisker biscuit to your bow and not paper tune your damn bow. Because every arrow rest out there needs to be paper tuned. There's a reason that the slot on the whisker biscuit has the bolt in it with a bunch of dash marks for you to move it right to left. Just because you think it lines up with your string doesn't mean it really does.
No.
You know, you're going to be good at 10 yards and all of a sudden your whisker biscuit is technically too far to the left on your bow and at 30 yards you're shooting 4 inches
left.
Well,
if you have any minor adjustments that you need to do, if you need to go left or right, you won't see until you get farther away because then right. It becomes more apparent.
Right.
If you're just like tuning it at 10 yards and it's dead on, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'll kind of like show his ugly face the farther out you get, which is when I was pulling to the left more.
Right. It actually ended up like the arrow rest was too far to the left.
Yeah. Well, 10 yards, it was fine. 20 yards, it was fine. Then we start getting out to 30. Then you started noticing it more.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the arrow has more distance to travel right. In the direction that it's being pulled. So, you know, I personally think that switching on and off, but I mean, you're not necessarily going to have the money just to be buying random parts and just switching them for, you know, shits and giggles.
Oh, yeah.
Especially before hunting season or during hunting season. Once hunting season hits, just don't.
Leave your setup alone.
Just don't swap shit out. But I mean, on off season, it doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't hurt because, well, shit, what if you're getting ready to go out on a hunt and your whatever breaks? Like, you need to know how to get that shit replaced and tune it so you can go out, you know. Absolutely. That's just my opinion.
No, it's true. I mean, well, that's because we're also in, when we go to our local range, it is, you know, at a Gander Mountain. And we're friends with both of the bow techs, James and Matt.
Bring your techs coffee.
Yes, bring your techs coffee because they love you for it. Because there's some days, especially our guys, where they're setting up bows from morning until night, and they can use some caffeine.
You know what? In general,
I don't smoke anymore, so I can't bring them cigarettes.
All you assholes need to be nice once in a while to people, okay?
Generalization.
No, it's, you know what? It's nice sometimes to do nice for someone else.
Well, the two guys today, I mean, when we walked in today, you know, everybody knows we're not fans of crossbows. Huh?
They had accents.
Yeah, really? And you want to talk about accents? The one dude sounded like he was off the boat from Italy, and the other guy sounded like he was off the boat from Ireland. I had no idea how the fuck they understood. Or Scotland. Actually, that's what it really would sound like. Was Scotland. Yeah, he's, you know.
It was heavier.
Yeah, I mean, my God. I don't know how the hell they understood each other. I'm like, all right, I understand the Paisan. No problem.
No,
you know, I'm used to that shit with my family. But the other guy started talking. I'm like, fuck, I need like a six-pack of beer in me, you know.
And I'm part Polish, so I get confused. Where's
our buddy? Oh, shit. You know, where's our buddy Sean to explain to me what this guy's saying?
Well, everyone knows my feelings on crossbows, but in this case,
these two guys were actually very, very friendly. I mean, super friendly. And their crossbows weren't disgustingly loud.
No.
They were accurate as shit, but they were not loud.
No, but my point is, the one guy who brought in his crossbow, the reason he got a crossbow was because he had really bad arthritis in his shoulder and fingers.
His fingers. He could not close his hand. I actually helped him get his bolts out of the target.
Yeah, he couldn't close his hand all the way. He had trouble. He did shoot a bow for years. This is what we got out of him. He shot a bow. Very good conversation. It just got to the point. He just got bad arthritis. It got worse. He can't close his fingers and hands. You know, it got bad in his shoulders. And at that point, he couldn't pull it back, but he still wants to hunt, so he went to a crossbow, which he still kind of, it was difficult for him to pull back, but it still gave him the, what's the word I'm looking for? The capability. Gave him the
capability of still hunting, but he deserved it.
He had a handicap.
Yeah, he couldn't, I mean, literally, I helped the dude get his bolts out of the target. He couldn't close his hand around the bolt.
Yeah.
You know?
That's okay. That's what a crossbow I think is there for. Because it's not fair to just be like, well, you know, since you have arthritis like that, that even though you're fully capable of firing a weapon, because it is a weapon.
It is, yeah.
You know, his vision's still there, his sense of reality, or he didn't lose his shit.
No, he was completely lucid. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's what it is, and I think that's where the crossbows come in.
Right.
When they're appropriate, I should say.
Exactly.
But if you have no physical disabilities or things holding you back, your ass needs to pull back a bow.
The thing that made me laugh was, like, the older guy, which was the Italian guy, he got his crossbow because, like we said, he couldn't close his fists anymore. And, you know, his left rotator cuff, he said, was completely, like, destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
So, fine. The other guy bought the crossbow so they can go shooting together. That's pretty fucking cool. The good guy's like, I'm not even really planning on hunting with it, but, you know, I could come with him and shoot. This dude spent like 600 bills because his bro has a crossbow.
Yeah.
So they can go shooting together. That's pretty freaking badass.
It's called friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pretty badass. Friends usually do that for each other. Definitely cool people, though. I mean, definitely two cool guys. Asking us if we could see the target. And at one point, it got kind of funny because he covered the bullseye in an orange, like, sticker that you would normally use for a gun target.
Yeah, and the fletchings.
And the fletchings on his bolts were orange. So we were like, nah, bro, I have no idea where it is.
I already feel blind as it is trying to find mine. How is it at 30 yards I cannot find my bright green fletching?
I don't know.
Well, it's only on one. Then it's white and black. It's green, white, and black.
Right.
So I'm really looking for one green. So I need to buy the glowing Nox.
Oh, the Nocturnals?
Whatever. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, if I buy it, and I'll let you know, if it works or not. But I really would like a flashlight on the end of that Nox to signal.
Hey, yo, bro, I'm here, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder to, and I have my eyes checked regularly.
Yes, we go for our eye exams every year. Yes.
And Doc said I was good, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the lighting. It's artificial lighting.
I think that has a lot to do with it because I feel like I strain inside that building.
Make me feel better.
No, I do. I agree.
Yeah.
Make me feel better. Even when I wear my hat, I still feel like if I don't fire my bow within 5 seconds or so, that all of a sudden, like, it gets way too bright in the room, even me wearing my Under Armour, you know, hunt hat.
Yeah.
Like, pulled down on top of my glasses.
Yeah, it's...
So.
It'll be different outside. But then you got dusk dawn, so, I mean, the light's not there. But then, that's where the nocturnals come in.
Well, and the natural lights, well, plus I also wear glasses that self-tint. So.
Yeah, I
know. My glass. Well, you have glasses.
Right.
You have sunglasses like crazy.
But they just tint.
Okay, self-tint. That's fine. When it's bright out, you put them on. When it's not bright out, you take them the fuck off.
Shh.
See, she tries to shush me when it's obvious statements.
Shush.
So, all right. So I swapped the sight out, like I said. I swapped back to the original style of stabilizer that I had, which was the TrueTech Carbon Pro.
His rest got swapped out like 3 times.
Got swapped to the True Glow updraft. I got annoyed as shit because I made a freaking mistake. So I put my C Max back on the bow.
Yep.
When we went shooting today, after I put the C Max back on the bow, I realized what I had missed on the updraft. That's why I was like, oh, you dumbass. Mm-hmm. You didn't paper tune
it. And what didn't you do today either?
What didn't I do today?
You didn't paper tune it.
I didn't need to paper tune it. It was already done. I didn't move anything. I literally unbolted it from the bow and put it on the shelf.
Oh, okay.
So it was already centered. No. I just bolted that bitch right back on. So put it back on the bow, and it was on at 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards. But by the time we got to 30, we had already let off like 90 freaking arrows. So both of us were dead.
Not 90, but
it was pretty close. We did like 10 rounds apiece at least.
No,
that's 6 arrows. Yeah, we did. We were there for 2 hours.
No.
And if you're wondering, my son is watching the movie Home in the background. If you hear that Jennifer Lopez song, by the way, because I can hear it through the headphones. No. We listen to very much heavy rock. Anyway, what else did we do to the bows?
Oh, my D loop.
Well, I redid both because of it.
Yeah, so my D loop was moving around a lot. So we switched our peep sights out. So you basically, during the settling time before, like when it's first installed, your new peep sight has some settling time. So you have to keep adjusting it so it's actually lined up with your D-loop. Well, my problem was is that I would shoot an arrow or two. Most of the time it was an arrow. And my D-loop was shifting. Like, yeah. It was turning around.
The knots were coming loose.
So then I would have to... And then the second arrow, I'd bring it back up thinking, like, okay, I just fixed it. And my peep sight would be off. So I kept having to move it. Which, honestly, it's simple in itself, but... It honestly gets annoying after having to, like, you know, change it. Right. So, you ordered D-loops.
I didn't even order them. I found them at Walmart.
I thought you ordered these.
No. I ordered the Bojacks, which is another thing we added to the Bose.
Okay.
Just as one of those, let's see if we could quiet the Bose down a bit.
Okay.
But, no, I just happened to be walking through Walmart. I think you sent me to the store for milk after work or something one day.
Oh, okay.
I was, like, walking through. I'm like, no one's awake. I'm going to go walk by Sporting Goods.
So what kind of D-loops were these?
They were just Allen's. Just, the three-pack for $4.
Okay. So these work?
Yeah. They work just fine. I redid my D-loop and made it shorter. But the main reason I bought them was because of yours. Because yours kept moving around.
Yeah, mine kept moving around.
So I redid yours to the exact same length that it originally was, tightened the living snot out of it, and we adjusted it right here in the living room in the apartment.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, it's something that's really cheap, that is really simple to do. And actually, I saw a diagram about how to do a D-loop. I think it was on, not Steve Rinella, it was...
Probably Dudley.
Dudley's. Yeah, I think it was Dudley's. It was just like a diagram step by step. I'll have to find it and post it.
It's probably Dudley.
And
if you ever want to learn how to set up a bow, matter of fact, since we just mentioned Dudley, Dudley did do an entire series. I think it's called Knocked and Ready to Rock. And I believe he's doing season 6 right now. So season 5. Where he literally sets up a bow from beginning to end. Shows you the bow press he's got, which I believe is the X bow press. And, I mean, changing the strings, putting in a D-loop, setting up the arrow rest, setting up the peep sight, how to tie the peep sight in, like, soup to nuts, beginning to end of setting up a bow. And it's like a 1 hour long YouTube video. Now, you can find it in, like, piece by piece. If you just need to find the D-loop video, there is just a D-loop video, or there it is, there's the entire 55 minutes of him setting this bow up beginning to end. So definitely worth something to find, to look at. So just because it'll also give you a better idea of what's on your bow, and you could see like, oh shit, my D-loop's missing or not missing. It's moving. Yeah, missing would suck.
Whoa, you'd have some issues if you were shooting without one of
those. Well, we did see people that were at the range that were shooting directly off their string with trigger releases, which I really don't recommend.
I think that was purposely though.
Oh, no, she was. That woman was shooting off it purposely. Now, granted, if she was using a trigger release, now she was using a wrist strap style release. Now, the new wrist strap style releases, the jaws are very narrow. It can wear that one section of the string much faster. I'm shooting a true fire wrist strap trigger release that's like, I don't know, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, old as shit.
Yeah, exactly. That I bought like when me and you first started dating. And that jaw is wide. Like, that one wouldn't be too bad because it's grabbing more than a half of an inch of the string, not something grabbing, like, an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, but you know what? They, people that have been shooting, that have done the technical part of all this, have figured that it is better to use a D-loop for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
There's reasons.
Well, there's several different ways to do it. I mean, there's just using D-loop, or like ours, we have string knocks plus D-loops, which I prefer.
But, I mean, honestly, like, we've progressed for certain reasons in the technology and ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason for it. And, I don't know, I feel like people who think they're better than others are like, oh, no, this is a better way. I don't know. It's just...
No, I absolutely agree. I feel like
you can damage your bowstring quicker.
You can. You will damage your bowstring if you shoot from the string.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of damaging... What was that other guy at the range you were talking to? Something about his string.
His string was coming apart. Guy's string started humming. Or guy's bow started to hum. And he let off an arrow, and I'm like, dude, that really didn't sound too good. Yeah, no, I don't know what it is. And I'm like, I look at his string. I'm like, why does he have extra serving up by the cam? It ends up that he put the serving string on himself because the cam was leaning so bad it was hitting the string. And I'm like, I don't want to shoot next to this dude anymore.
Oh, so you didn't tell me this and I was shooting right next to him.
He stopped shooting right after I said that because not only did the piece that he had added to it was rubbing on the cam, but there was another section where, like, as the string goes around the cam, it, like, locks on to, like, a little tit or something that sticks off the side of the cam, like a little nub or whatever.
What's it lock onto?
Like a little tit. She's laughing okay. at me now. Whatever. It's got, like, a little nub, little mushroom that you've looped the string around.
Oh, really?
I keep making it worse. Tit, yeah, mushroom, yeah, Jesus Christ. Whatever. But the string had started to come apart there, which he hadn't touched. And I'm like, you need to stop shooting. Oh, I'm going to have to go get a new string now. Yeah, you do.
I don't understand people.
No, but he packed up.
Yeah, but you knew that was well.
The first thing that should have been a bad sign. Oh yeah, my cam was rubbing against the string.
Yeah.
You thought it was a good idea just to add serving string on it? You didn't think it was a good idea to have your split limbo retuned?
You know, and it's funny that we made that one. We mentioned on one of the podcasts that we did about stupidity and safety and...
We preach safety. There's some aspect of safety that we've been preaching in every single one of these podcasts. And I feel bad sometimes for the audience. They're just like, oh, God, they run into someone stupid again this week.
But
it's good for you to know about the stupid people we run into because it'll give you something to look for and be like, oh, man, this bitch right here is dangerous. You know, yeah, let me get away from
him. I don't understand. Like... You never actually think when you watch these dumb little videos about safety and, oh, this could happen if you don't do this.
It's true.
It's kind of like an exaggeration. You're like, nah, that I don't understand why anyone would think that. But then you actually run into them in real life. You're kind of like, what?
Yeah.
This actually happens? Holy shit.
Yep.
Like, you're the reason why they put on a warning sticker on a dryer not to use in bathtub or while sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a reason these things... Really? That's his phone.
Sorry.
Ridiculousness.
It's across the room.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't even know where it is.
It's ridiculous.
Who cares? Anyway, I switched out the D-loops. I've been doing a lot more of the work to our bows myself now. Just like we said here in New York, hunting season is in full swing for archery right now. So our bow techs and... the other pro bow shop that's in the area, B&B Archery, they are packed every day, all day. Right now, I know B&B, from what I believe, they're running like appointment only to have any sort of work to your bow done. The done bow. God, I can't talk. Jesus. But, you know, they're running appointment only. Our guys at Gander right now who help us a lot with this, and like I said, I keep mentioning their names and stuff like that, James and Matt, they do a lot of stuff for us. We help them out with a lot of things. I take care of a lot of their new archers that are in the range because I'm just that type of person that's willing to help, and so is Steph. So, but like I said, I've been doing a lot more of the work to the bows myself. And that's why we mentioned, you know, the stuff like from John Dudley, you know, with the Knocked and Ready to Rock series. You can actually get the idea of like, all right, I can do my own D-loop. They sell the pliers for the D-loop at Dick's Sporting Goods.
These are not high-tech things that you need to do to your bow.
Actually, I would recommend just watching the D-loop. Not to do the D-loop. No.
That's my point.
I would recommend having or watching the D-loop video because even... by chance, if you're in the field, they always tell you in your pack, have a lighter. Yeah. That's one of the things they always tell you. Have a lighter, have something sharp with you, a knife, a pair of scissors, Fire. Whatever. Right. Guess what? If your D-loop breaks in a tree stand, screw that damn arrow you just lost. Who gives a shit about that? Pull one of these stupid little Allen D-loop strings that's like 5 inches long out of your pack. Do it right there in the tree stand. Burn damn ends on it. Boom, you're done. You don't have to get out of the tree stand and you don't lose your day hunting. You know, it costs $3, I believe, $3.50 or something like that for 3 6-inch long neon green strings. You know, you need to think about a 6-inch strings for $4. It's pricey. Whatever, bro. You know, something that'll save your ass in the field one day.
Well, people think that it's something simple. Like, nah, I don't have to worry about it. But it's usually the most simple things that hurt you in the end.
That's the thing that'll fail on your bow is the thing that's simple.
Well, that's the thing that usually screws people the most is the thing that they think is the first thing that will not fail on them is the most simple.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree. Then when you're not prepared for it, you're like, ah, shit. But when something major fails, like major, then that's understandable. You're like, shit, okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is done. But something simple and stupid, that's just not be prepared for that is just dumbness.
I agree.
Yeah.
Might as well be prepared. I mean, the stuff on the bows, I mean, you can be prepared for like with the littlest things. You know, have a D-loop with you. Have a lighter with you. Have a pair of scissors. You know, but hunters, it's a good idea. Carry a multi-tool. You can buy one of them $5 multi-tools from freaking Walmart during the Christmas sales.
Yeah, but then we're going to start getting into, like, things to carry onto your pack. You know?
No. I'm just saying, like, the stuff you just need for your bow. You don't need essentials. Much. Yeah, but the main things you need for a bow, like, when you're in your tree stand, have a D-loop with you. If you have a drop-away arrow rest, like I always say, I recommend limb drive arrow rests for a reason. And it's not just because, they're attached to... No. Yes, we know limb drives are supposed to be the most consistent ones right now in the market.
Mm-hmm.
All your limb drive arrow rests will come with an extra cord from that would normally go on your arrow rest. They come with the extra cord that goes from the limb to the arrow rest. So if that cord breaks while you're in the tree stand... Granted, you also have to carry your little Allen key set with you. You can swap that cord immediately in the tree stand. So if you have a lighter, if you have something to cut stuff with, and you have your little Allen multi-key set, what do you have to do? Carry two cords with you? A D-loop and maybe the one that goes to your arrow rest?
Yeah, it's a not quarter, really adding
4 ounces
weight.
Worth of stuff?
It's not adding much weight to your pack.
Right. Well, most people hunt from a tree stand. What are they hiking into the woods? A mile? Maybe. You know, where we live, granted, we're not like super, super upstate New York.
Yeah. You know. Honestly, the people that are really going to be listening to this probably right now are the ones that are going within range of civilization. The ones that are going out for like 2-week hunts or some shit.
Yeah. We're not talking about the guys who are doing, even the guys who are doing backcountry hunting type of stuff. I've seen guys' backpacks where they buy those bow presses that are on eBay.
Yeah.
That. All it does is wedge itself against the center of the riser, and it's got like two balls on cables that go to the end of the limbs, and it squeezes the bow together just in case their string snaps in the field, and they carry a string. They carry that 5-ounce bow press. They carry one of those cords for the arrow rest, and they carry a D-loop, a lighter.
If you're going on a 2-week hunt, you're going to be in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And day two, after you've gotten dropped off, like your string breaks.
Yeah, you're shit out of luck.
You're not gonna just ditch the whole thing. You're gonna find a way to fix it.
Right.
I mean, because that would be kind of crappy. It'd be shit out of luck. In the middle of Alaska somewhere.
Alaska.
What?
Nah.
I'm just using it as a very remote. I know. A remote area.
Like the most remote place on the planet.
Well, yeah, you know, not a lot of people hunt there. And if you hunt there and you're successful at it, then, you know, points for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Honestly. Because that, I don't think that's in our future anytime soon. Maybe in our lifetime one time.
Probably.
But not right now, I know for a fact.
No, I still want to go, you know, like certain places.
My survival skills need to be better. In that kind of a situation than they are now. As far as like, let's stop for lunch. Oh, here's a river. Let's just catch something real quick and eat it. And
that's awesome, though, when people do that.
I think that is very awesome. When you can just stop for lunch and you don't pack extra food in your pack. You only kind of pack the emergency food.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch everything that you eat. Really, I think that's pretty awesome. I would actually like to get to that point where I'm confident enough that, you know, your fishing pole is, you just have to pack a stick and a string and you have your hook. And then you're like, yeah, I can catch something for lunch. Here you go. Let's start a fire and cook it and eat that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You get fish and then if you did bag a deer or if you're hauling in meat or something. Right. And you have meat on top of that, but even still, fish. You're not going to starve.
No, not at all. Fish is probably the best, one of the best ones to actually like catch real fast and do it. You know, granted, that's saying like if you didn't shoot a deer, whatever, you can make yourself a little campfire and cook yourself up some steak or whatever.
But it depends on what area you're into, but usually most people stay by some kind of water source anyway.
Yeah, you want to because it's one of the best places to find animals.
And plus, if you get a way to filter your water, if you're looking to cut weight on your pack, you find ways to filter water for drinkable, is what I'm saying. So usually, if you
pack that Brita.
Yeah, you know what? That'll be the day when we're in the middle of nowhere. And I'm looking for the little filter that people create to carry as a survival thing. And this one over here is going to pull out the Brita filter. That's going to be the day with the little pitcher. Don't hate. Like, why don't you have enough room in your pack? And you pull out the whole pitcher.
Hey, they got the squirt bottle Britas.
Oh, my Jesus.
I'll put one of those things in a stream. I don't give a shit. That's fine.
You know, as dumb as it sounds right now, that would actually probably work.
They do. They make the sports bottles that have the two Brita filter on them. I don't understand why people are not using those going out. I mean, like, we've watched a lot of videos, Hushin and all of them, and they bring in coolers to their camp location. Like,
well, there's a bunch of them calling in right. stuff.
But they're also going to be in that one camp for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
You know? They're not the group of guys that are going to be like, oh, we're going to live off the land. You know, granted, their videos are fantastic. And I mean, the hunts they do are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Casey Beeman and I can't remember, B-Mac, whatever. Or Eric. There we go. Casey Beeman and Eric. Or B-Mac and Eric.
You are probably butchering their names.
No. That's a name.
And I'm apologizing.
The guy with the beard is Casey. This real skinny dude is B-Mac. Or Brian, I think is his actual name. And then the bald one with the neck warmer or whatever they make fun of him about. That's Eric Chesser. But their videos are, all awesome. But you don't ever see really them do the, oh, we're going to live off the land hunt.
Steve Rinella is.
Rinella does that. Good for Haynes does that. Yeah. Cam. He's that water buffalo video that he had from Australia. That's crazy.
Oh, when they were drinking buffalo piss?
Yeah, drinking buffalo piss. I mean, shooting animals in the field.
Yeah, no, they were...
And if anyone has not heard that, Joe Rogan did a podcast with Cam where they specifically talk about the hunt in Australia for water buffaloes. Listen to it.
Yeah.
Because when he describes how they had to first put the water through their t-shirt to get the chunkiness out, and then goes on to describe the rest, bro. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It still smells like buffalo piss.
Yeah, how's it taste? Yeah, it smells like buffalo piss, yeah.
It is buffalo piss.
Right. But Australia's got some crazy shit, too. I mean,
Australia is nuts because I think, like, a good amount of the land is still not
they can hunt cats.
What do you mean cats?
Cats. Like felines? Cats?
Good, I don't like cats.
I know that. Neither do I. But they can literally hunt cats. Because there is such a bad overpopulation of cats. And I shit you not, if anyone, Google a hunting magazine from Australia. And there are dudes with pictures that they shot this cat with their bow. They like smiling, holding the cat by the tail like you're holding a set of antlers on a deer.
Yeah, but isn't it also in Australia that... I think it's wild horses.
No, it's water buffalo.
No, I'm sorry. It's
It's the water buffaloes.
I'm not talking about the water buffalo. Oh my God, you mentioned cats, so I'm thinking of something that's domesticated over here that gets hunted somewhere else. I can't remember where it is, but it's an overabundance of the wild horses. I want to say Africa.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. It might be.
You know, don't call. By the next podcast, I'll look it up. And find this out, but you're allowed to shoot wild horses because there's just a
it might be Australia too
an overabundance of them.
I know they ruin
the land that they're on. Like they wear it down and they destroy it down to nothing, mm-hmm. and then they move on. Like they're not and they just keep breeding and breeding, And it's just the numbers are not being regulated.
Right. Well, that's why, I mean, that's the same thing with cats down there. I mean, people up in here in the U.S., I mean, people would flip out. Oh, my God, they're hunting cats and
No, not the Asians. Where do you think all your Chinese food comes from? Oh, that is not chicken. God. That's dog and cat. Please.
We're going to get thrown off the air.
We can't. It's free.
I know. It's just funny.
Everything's free. How can you ban free? Well, yeah. Okay, never mind.
Seen the shit that's on the news right now? My God. But yeah, I mean, like, hunting around the world is crazy. But all right, anyway, back to our bow stuff since we just rattled a bunch of useless.
Still hunting. It's not useless. Shut your mouth.
We're in the U.S. We're in the U.S.
How dare you?
I'm not going hunting for a water buffalo. How dare you? I've heard if Cam Haines describes something like it's like eating leather, no, I have no interest in hunting.
Any information is not useless.
No. His information was not useless. It just told me to, no, fuck them. I don't want to hunt them. You know, no.
You're horrible.
I don't want to hunt a cat.
Yeah, I do.
It's because you hate cats.
Yes, I can freely kill them.
See, but we don't have to hunt cats in the U.S. See, we have PETA. They slaughter like 6 million cats a year.
I don't want to talk about
PETA. And actually, not for nothing, people wonder like why they're allowed to hunt cats. One is the overpopulation that cats have in Australia. They're everywhere. They can't be controlled, so they're letting people kill them, letting people hunt them at an unlimited stance. Now, before anyone who has a cat freaks out about that, keep in mind that they're allowed to hunt the cats for several reasons. One is the overpopulation. Two is the fact that these cats are annihilating bird populations. Australia is one of the largest, actually, I think it is the largest continent that has ground nesting birds. The cat population in Australia right now is responsible for 6 of the species going extinct of these birds.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another one of the reasons why these cats are allowed to be killed. So, all right. Back to bows. Another thing we picked up now, because I wanted to try them out, because I've had like the cat whiskers on the strings. I've had the limb saver stick on vibration absorbers for the limbs on my old PSC. This time I decided to try out the bow jacks.
Yep.
And I got 4 of them in, and I put 2 on your main string and 2 of them on my main string. And
they're quieter.
The bows, yeah. I mean, the hum is gone from the string. Yeah, so
they're pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah, very. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to measure the gaps because they sell the ones that you put in between the limbs.
Okay.
But you have to measure the gap and you have to order them specifically for the gap. They sell them in 15 16ths, 5 16ths, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So I'm going to measure those and pretty much see how much more we can get these bows to be quieter. You know, I also have to keep in mind the more we add, the slower the bows are going to go.
You know, and I really feel like as much as you're doing, by next year, you're going to have a different bow.
You will probably too.
No. No, I don't see myself switching bows.
Why?
Because I like my bow.
Okay, there's nothing
There's no reason to switch it right now. I'll switch the accessories on it, but I'm not switching the bow. I'm going to stick with PSC for a while.
No. I right now, I pretty much, if I go to another bow, it's either going to be a Hoyt or it's going to be a PSE.
That's what I'm saying. You're probably going to go to Hoyt next.
No, I think either one. It's right now, it's either the full throttle because I want 80 pounds. And I know everyone's going to be like, you don't need 80 pounds. Doesn't matter if I don't need it. I want 80 pounds. Doesn't matter if I only need 50 pounds or 45 pounds to kill a deer. I've been shooting 70 pounds since I'm 18.
You know what? If it makes you happy with what you're doing, then
right.
Who gives a shit about what any of these people
No,
think?
No. That's what I'm saying. But I always, we hear from, what are you trying to kill? Whatever I want.
Your mom.
You know.
That wildebeest.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. No, we've said it before, like my point of view on hunting and shooting an animal. I want the kill to be fast. I want it to be ethical.
Yeah, but
so
it's
if I could throw the arrow clean through, now it has 2 bleeding holes, not 1.
You just need to make sure you hit in the right spot.
Right, but the idea is that I'm fine with knowing the fact that I will destroy a $30 arrow to make that kill fast and ethical. So if I'm shooting at 70 pounds, which I do right now, my bows are all locked down.
But I think at 52 pounds, I'd be able to also...
Oh, no, you won't have a problem killing a deer.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever.
But moose.
Deer, a hog. Moose, we're probably going to have to get you like... Moose and an elk, you're going to have to be around 60. Mm-hmm. I would say 55 to 60. Which, I think in a year, you can do 60 pounds.
Yeah, probably.
You know, without a doubt. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But the other reason, too, is like with your bow, I figure in like, you know, you shoot your bow for a year, maybe 2 years, and then we upgrade yours. Because I really would rather you have a twin cam bow and not just a single cam.
We'll see.
Because twin cams snap harder and they have faster speed. So you have the single cam. So right now your bow at 70 pounds would only do 308 feet a second. Mm. We can get you a bow that's twin cammed. And now you're at 330, 340 at 60 pounds instead. Right. So, you know, get a better, you know, shot.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what Santa brings.
Santa brings. Oh, Jesus.
Hey. Hey, if you find the right present under the tree, there is a Santa.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. See? Let's see. What else? There was one more thing I did to my bow this week. Oh, I changed my draw length.
Oh, yeah.
Because... And I've been shooting fine with my bow, I mean, for like the last 3 months. It's just in the last couple of weeks, I noticed in, and it's horrible to say because I noticed it in pictures, I always kind of felt like my draw was like super, super tight. Like I hit the back wall on the bow and I was like, I felt like I was still trying to pull. And you took a picture of me like 2 weeks ago, like from my back.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I always take pictures of you.
No, no, no. It was like an over-the-shoulder picture.
So I'm not really sure which one of the pictures that I took.
Anyway.
Oh, I took some more today.
Oh, I didn't see. You didn't show me yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take a look at the ones you shot. Oh. And
I'm horrible with pictures.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but you did take a picture, and I noticed in that picture that my left shoulder was actually pulled up. It looked like my... In the picture, it looked like my head was down too far and my shoulder was up. Like I was tucking my shoulder to make the shot.
I don't know. I'd have to actually look at it.
So I was like, all right, you know, let me see something. Because my draw length, I think, was set to 28 and a half inches. So I wanted to try and set it at 29. And so I did. I set it at 29 and played with it in the house here a little bit. And I felt like right away, as stupid as it sounds, a half an inch made a world of a difference. She's full of dick jokes, folks. Yeah. No, but no, it did. It felt like, I mean, it felt like the back wall was more comfortable. I was at a better spot. I felt like my posture felt better, whatever. So I moved it. And I mean, today I was pretty much... When we were at the range, I was doing pretty well today. I didn't feel fatigued. I didn't feel like my shoulders were sore. So,
that's good.
You know, make sure you play around with your stuff. You know, I know you can do a measurement yourself to see your, to check your draw length. There's the whole, you know, stick your arm straight out. If you're right-handed, stick your left arm straight out at your side. Mm-hmm. Close your hand into a fist, put your fist against the wall, and have someone measure from the wall to the corner of your mouth if you look towards the wall. And, you know, there's ways of doing that. And actually, I think I got that off Dudley's, one of Dudley's videos also that
he
did.
Yeah, he has a lot of stuff on there.
He's got a lot of very technical stuff. But, you know, play with stuff. If something feels a little bit too tight... Like, if you feel like I said, I felt like I was really, like, I needed to go back a little more. Mm-hmm. If you feel that, you don't need a bow press with 95% of the bows right now to change the draw length. Get the diagram out. Get the owner's manual out. Move the module on the cams one notch over. Give yourself that extra half inch and see how you feel after that. And you might, like today, I felt like I did the right thing. The bow felt like it shot better for me today. Well, I felt like I was in a more comfortable spot.
Worst comes to worst, you just change it back.
Right. You could always change a pack.
I mean, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, it's not one of those things that's detrimental to everything.
Exactly.
So.
So, and that's about it that we've done this week so far.
Yeah, there's we should be going out shooting tomorrow.
Which will be another topic, I'm sure, that will come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, anything else you got?
No, I'm good.
I'm good for tonight then. And, so basically wrap up. We change. I'm going to do it real fast. She's giving me a look. I change out the site to the True Glow Peak.
They've been here the whole podcast listening.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
Okay, go ahead.
So I change out the site to the True Glow Peak. The Rival FX, if you're going to buy one, worth the money. True Glow Peak so far is doing very well. I'm very impressed with it. Bojax, the string silencers work very well. And now she's making fun of me. All right, so I'm
I'm sorry. I fell asleep during your recap.
God.
No, continue.
No, I'm done. All right, folks. Well, until the next podcast, I'm Anthony.
I'm Stephanie.
And she's making fun of me some more. Everyone, get your bows. Go out and shoot. Have fun.
Yes.
Make friends.
Do a recap.
Yeah, no more recap. Goodbye.
Then no more friends.